You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, and welcome back into the podcast that we like to call From the Podium, where you hear directly from your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm host and audio producer of the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, Steven Serta. Chiefs took the practice field on Wednesday as they begin their preparation for Sunday night football against the Denver Broncos. We heard from head coach Andy Reid, quarterback Patrick Mahomes, as well as guard Trey Smith and cornerback L'Jarius Sneed. We'll go in that order, starting with Reid, followed by Patrick Mahomes, and we'll take a quick timeout. When we get back, you'll hear from Trey Smith and L'Jarius Sneed. Here's Andy Reid.
So this is what we've got as far as injuries. Really, Fenton's the only injury we had. He strained his knee a little bit, so he won't practice today. And then non-injury related are Hardman and Hill. And so we'll expect them back here relatively quick. Look forward to the challenge of playing Denver. I know they're a heck of a football team, and obviously their head coach has done a nice job with the offense and the defense, and they've got some new players in there. They're playing really good football. So we'll start our week here and make sure that we detail our work and get ready for, obviously, a tremendous challenge. So with that, time's yours.
Andy, when you did the sort of self-study, or however you would describe it, last week, I'm curious, when you look at Patrick's interceptions, there's obviously a number of them have been deflected. What do you see in those as a common denominator, other than maybe the receiver not pulling it in? I mean, is Patrick own some of that?
Yeah, listen, he owns everything. You know, that's how he's wired. However, there's a lot of things that go into it. And we're playing a team that has the leader over the last bit of tip balls. Their number 96 is tremendous at that. They had 4 tip balls against us last year. So, you know, that obviously, as an offense, we've got to make sure that we're aware of that and take care of business on that.
The other part of that is kind of just a twist, but I think you brought this up a few times, just the way the ball bounces sometimes. I think cumulatively he's had like double that amount this year than he ever had in his first 3 seasons. Is that something you just see as part of the way the game rolls?
Yeah, it's all part of it. Sometimes these things come in groves, and you just got to kind of work through them. So,
Coach, your guys who just had the big long break, the guys were off, they had to come back and test in. Is that going all right for you guys? And I noticed you're wearing a mask today. Have you got some new protocols for the team?
Yeah, so you have to keep them on for 3 days, and so this is our last day with it. We can have them off on the field, indoor and outdoor field. So league's taking precautionary measures. Our guys did a pretty good job with it so far. They've done good with the mask, but I mean, as far as not having a lot of positive tests there. So.
And you, but you've tested in, as everyone tested back in, everyone good at this point?
Yeah, well, you just took it one step too far, dude. I tried to give you a nice story, and you just went overboard. All right.
Kyle Long, what are your expectations for him now that he's back on the active roster?
Listen, so he's had a couple good weeks of practice, kind of easing his way back in, and he's up. You know, I mean, he's going to practice today. So I think the term is activated onto that roster. So, and then we'll just see as the week goes on how it goes.
Do you anticipate him being up if all goes well this week on Sunday night?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll just see how it goes. We're still taking it day by day with it. He's doing a heck of a job, and just leave it at that.
Also wanted to check on Tyrann Mathieu. How did he come through with the knee issue?
Yeah, so he did good. He took care of it this past week. And like I said, I mean, he's a tough kid, and he approaches his rehab that way. He approaches the game that way. He kind of approaches his life. He does a great job as a dad and also as a player. So I appreciate him for all of that.
Coach DeBrunk has had three solid end of the last four games against the football team, the Cowboys as well as the Chargers. Most of it is running the football, playing good defense. What have you seen on film that Patrick and your office should be concerned with that defense, especially Patrick?
Well, they've got an experienced coordinator. Their head coach, is one of the best defensive minds in the game. So he presents a real solid defense. They've got a great red zone defense. Their pass defense is right up there with the top pass defenses. And so that's what it presents. He's not... he's got enough blitz packages in there where he can bring in the max, zero blitzes, but at the same time, he picks and chooses kind of when he does that and picks and chooses when he brings an extra guy. And he works to keep you off balance that way.
Coach, sure. Along those same lines of Adam's question, right now the roster is at 52. What are your expectations for, like, Mike Remmers or even Joshua Campbell as their window to return from injured reserve is slowly creeping up?
Yeah, so... Well, right now it's just Kyle Long that's been worked in there. So the other guys, they're not at that point right now.
Colin Saunders, because he was inactive and then all.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, so Colin hurt his knee, and it was kind of a weird deal. I'm not sure I can even tell you when it happened, but he had a small piece of cartilage that had flipped up in there, and it was bugging him. So. We took care of it, our doctors took care of it.
Coach, how's your offense different with the new quarterback this year?
Yeah, so Teddy does a nice job in there. Not that Locke didn't, but I mean, Teddy's the one going right now. So, and he's very smart. He's active. He can move. If he gets into, trouble with a rush and throws an accurate ball on the move. So, and then he gets the ball out fast. And he manages the whole thing very well. He's experienced. He's a good football player.
Andy, when you look at your defense, especially this last month or so, could you sense that was coming based on elements you were seeing over the first couple of months? I mean, I guess what's been surprising is just how sudden it is.
Yeah, so there's a fine line. Fine margin between winning and losing in this thing and then playing well and not playing well. There's so much competition. So you just have to kind of keep at it, and there might be just a couple small little things that work for you, and it changes things around. So, and like I'm saying about the head coach of the Denver Broncos, I mean, Spags is one of those guys. He's one of the top defensive coordinators, and so he's patient with it, but still pushing his way through those things, and he trusts the guys to do it, and they trust him. So some of the guys tweaked it a couple little things. Spags tweaked a couple little things. His coaches did the same thing, and they're playing good football. So the thing you have to do with that is you've got another side of the ball playing you that are pretty good coaches. So you got to make sure you stay on top of your game and keep practicing it. And that goes for both sides of the ball and special teams. So if you let up and you don't stay ahead of the challenge there, then you can be back into, you can have some issues.
Coach, with Lucas Vang returning to practice this week, the right tackle position where it's been kind of fluctuating this season, is he the kind of guy that can return to the starting lineup, or are you satisfied with what you've gotten out of Andrew Wiley?
Well, Andrew's done a good job, but, again, we'll see how Niang does and how he feels going forward. But he'll get some work today, and we'll just see how it goes. But Andrew has experience. I mean, Heck just kind of rotates everybody. So, and then if they're good to go, then they go. So.
A couple more guys. The Broncos have been talking about this streak. It's been a couple of years since, obviously, they beat you guys. How aware do you think your players are of that at this point in the season, given, it's been kind of the case every week where it seems like you're getting the best shot of each and every team?
I'm not even sure what you're talking about, but that we're we can't think about all that. We're in this whole thing where we're trying to just get good enough to go play these guys, right? So that's where we're at.
Andy, Patrick, after the last game, mentioned that during the bye week, he spent a lot of time on third down stuff. When you look at it, you guys are leading the league in the third down, so maybe that's part of how he's wired. But is that something that you guys wanted to spend a lot of time on?
Yeah, so there are things we can do better in every area, for second down included, and run and pass. And so, but we put a ton of emphasis on third down and the reds, some of the, different specials that you've got to do. So that's one of them. And the situational football in this league is huge. And you got to stay on top. So that's what he was doing. Yeah. And again, if you don't stay on top of it, then you're going to be back in the bottom, and you don't want to go there.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Good.
You think of the Broncos, is there a lot they're doing different defensively than what they've done the last couple of years?
Obviously there's little things here and there they do a little differently, but I mean, they've been a good defense for a long time. Especially with Coach Fangio there. I mean, if you look around the league, I mean, a lot of defenses have adopted or hit the style of defense he runs because he does it so well. So he's definitely has a great defense. They have great players, and it'll be a great challenge for us.
Did you do any specific study of the interceptions during the bye week, like what you might see as common denominators?
Not necessarily. I mean, I've seen them all. There's some where I'm pressing the issue a little bit more. Some are just bad luck. So I'll try to do whatever I can to try to limit those as much as possible, because we know turnovers are such a big deal in this league.
A number have gone off of people, but on those, do you think there's a possibility that you could have done something different on those too?
If you look back at the one with Travis, the Cowboys game, if I put the ball in front of him, he probably catches, breaks a tackle, and gets extra yards, but I threw it kind of on his back hip. And it got tipped up and intercepted. So, I mean, just because it hits them doesn't necessarily mean it's in the right spot for them to make the catch. So I got to make sure that I'm putting it in that right spot every time.
Patrick, you obviously, when you faced the Cowboys, you faced off against that rookie Michael Parsons. When you see him on tape, on film with Patrick Sertan, that, knowing he's probably going to line up against Tyreek, somebody that would, make money.
Yeah, I mean, first off, I mean, he's physically, I mean, he has all the talent you could possibly want. I mean, he's tall, he's fast, he's big, he's physical. And then you could tell his dad was a player. I mean, you could tell those guys that they're smart, they understand the game. Even for a rookie, he has like a veteran mindset. And he understands what they're trying to do as a defense. So someone you definitely have to know where he's at every single play, and he's just getting better and better each and every week.
Patrick, 11 straight wins against the Broncos dating back to 2015. How aware are you guys in that locker room of that streak? And then how much does that play psychologically as you go into this game?
Yeah, I mean, other than when you play this week and people talk about it, we're not really paying attention to it. I mean, we understand it's a whole brand new football team on both sides of the ball. It's a division opponent. It's always a big game against the Broncos, and we know it's gonna be a great challenge for us. And I mean, they won a couple games against us too, so we know it's a big rivalry, and we need to go out there and play our best football.
During the bye week, the staff kind of dives into the film, a deep dive. What can you share that maybe Kafka and Bienemy shared with you that you could improve kind of this final stretch here?
Yeah, I mean, I just got to continue to be great throughout all four quarters of games. I mean, there's been stretches every single game where I've made stuff happen. We've made drives kind of go. But there's just times where I try to push the issue too much, or I don't push it enough. And so just finding that right median where you can go out there and be who I am, but still make sure that we're making positive plays every single drive.
Patrick, people always talk about how good Andy Reid is after a bye. What have you taken from him as far as like study habits or things like that you've added to your game?
Yeah, I mean, you go back, you look at the tape, and you evaluate yourself, obviously, and then you try to get a little bit of a jump start on the team that you're playing. And we have an AFC West opponent, so we studied him a little bit in the offseason as well. So just having a good game plan, and Coach Reed has that extra week. He really comes up with some nice plays, and I mean, at the end of the day, it's just about going out there and executing, and we just seem to do a great job of that after a bye.
Patrick, after the Cowboys game, you identified third downs as something you wanted to work on during the bye. I'm wondering, you guys lead the league in third downs. I'm wondering why you identified that and how that process went this last week.
Yeah, I mean, you want to I mean, the great offenses in history, and obviously today's age of they really do a great job of third downs in the red zone. And so I just feel like in these last few weeks, I mean, here and there, we just didn't execute at a high enough level in certain parts of the game on third downs. And so we went back, and just like every week, we kind of evaluate that, try to find plays that we know we can have success with. And then at the end of the day, the players are going to go out there and make plays, and I think we have the guys that can do it.
You mentioned a specific type of defense you're seeing. I'm wondering if that's a type that you've seen in the past.
Yeah, it is, and I think it's just we just got to continue to execute. I got to just like the throw to Kelsey. I mean, we get guys open. I have to make sure I throw it and put it in the right spot, especially against man coverage where they can make the catches and we can move the chains. And so, I mean, we do a great job of it, of really breaking it down. It's just about really executing when it comes down to it, especially at this time of the year.
I'm sure you're aware how the guys on defense over the last few weeks have said how much health and everybody playing together as a unit has made an impact on that side of the ball. This might be the first chance where you guys get just about everybody back healthy on offense. Just what do you think that could do for that side of the ball as you guys move towards the stretch run of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think guys have done a great job of stepping up in their roles. But as you continue to get more and more guys back, you just continue to have that extra little edge. You get to continue to have that mindset of we're going to go out there and be who we are. I think that as well as knowing that we got to go now. I mean, you're in a tight division in the AFC West. You're playing a lot of division opponents coming up. But it starts this week with the Denver Broncos. I mean, you just have to have that mindset of we need to be our best if we want to go out there and win the AFC West.
Patrick, you certainly demonstrated a social consciousness, and I'm curious if you followed the story of Kevin Strickland very much, and if so, if you have any thoughts about his release last week.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the story a little bit. Obviously, it's terrible that he was in jail for that long, being an innocent man. But I'm glad that he's out now, and hopefully that his release can be a kind of a thing that doesn't let people get in that same situation that he was in and lose a big part of their life, pretty much.
Patrick, this is a very random question, but working on a story about fans that travel, for you when you're in Vegas, for example, when there's Chiefs fans everywhere, what does that do for you guys?
Yeah, no, it's super exciting. I mean, when you have that fan base with you, and then you go out there and you can kind of feel that energy from them supporting you, and then just like in Vegas, when we started winning the game, you can start hearing them creep louder and louder. I mean, it really is a cool feeling, and not every fan base has it. So I'm glad I'm in Chiefs Kingdom, and we're traveling everywhere we play.
Another off-the-field thing, just how was your bye week, first bye week as a dad and getting to spend Thanksgiving with your daughter?
Yeah, it was awesome. I think you probably saw the tweet when I was talking about being a dad's cool. And, I mean, just when you're in season, you get to see her, but she's asleep a lot. When you get home, you're getting home late and stuff like that. But when you're there for that bye week and you're sitting around with her all day and you're just playing and seeing how much she's grown, she's crawling now, so she's moving around everywhere. It's really cool just to watch because she changes every single day. And, I mean, that was super important to me. And to be able to see her moving around, it was cool.
Okay. Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks. Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels. But now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You just heard from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid and quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Now we'll hear from guard Trey Smith as well as cornerback L'Jarius Sneed.
This is your first chance to see the Denver Broncos. This is a team's got an 11-game winning streak. How much have you heard about the streak, and how much have you guys talked about in the locker room?
Yeah, you know, I mean, pretty much coming in this week, you know, preparation's still the same. We know we have a good team in front of us that we have to play, and, you know, a divisional rival. We just have to play to the best of our potential, you know, listen to our coaches and execute.
Trey, some of the guys expressed some surprise that you got a personal foul a couple of weeks ago because you're not a guy that says a lot. Can you shed some light on what happened there?
Yeah, you know, it's just me losing my cool a little bit. You know, I have to do a better job at this level, especially being a professional, keeping my cool, because at the end of the day, that penalty hurt my team. And, you know, just going back to that, you know, I just have to do a better job of keeping my cool, understand the situation, and, you know, keep playing.
Did that help you find the line, whatever you can say? Did you, whatever the magic word was, you know where that line is now?
Yeah. It is my line. I'm not saying anything anymore. No more talking at all.
Did Patrick actually tell you you should say it under your breath?
No, sir. No, it's just, you know, just keep it cool in that situation. Pat was being a great leader. Just, you know, it hurt the team. It's something that can't happen anymore, and just keep going.
When you're a rookie like this, if you get into, if this is a long-standing NFL rivalry, right? Mm-hmm. You didn't grow up around here. You don't hate the Broncos, whatever. You might have friends that play there. How long does it take for you to get that part of this? I know you try to keep it one game at a time and all that, but does it feel a little bit different knowing that this is a rivalry that you're kind of stepping into and now you have to understand what it's about?
Yeah, you know, if it's important to the organization, you know, from a traditional standpoint, you know, it's a big-time game. For me, I try to take every game as a big-time game. In terms of my preparation, nothing really changes. But, you know, obviously it's a rivalry game, and you'll know it after snap one. So, you know, we're really excited about it. And, you know, like I said, preparation remains the same every week.
Counting the preseason, you play 14 games now, which is longer than your college season, and you still got a ways to go. How are you holding up, do you feel like? Is the first time going through this, how do you feel like you're holding up physically and mentally with this grind?
Yeah, I feel like I'm doing well. Obviously, the bye week was a nice time to be around family and just sort of refresh a little bit. Physically, you know, I'm feeling great. Like you said, this is a grind, you know, this season compared to college. We'd be done now. So it's just a new step, a new challenge. You know, I'm eager to face it, and, you know, I'm feeling great.
I wonder from your position, playing guard, just what impresses you most about what Joe Tooney has done to not really miss any time considering his hand injury and just – how much you may have taken from him, even though he plays on the left side of the line.
Yeah, Joe's the ultimate pro, man. Just being able to watch him every day, you know, thankful for the opportunity, you know, just to learn from him. In terms of, like, you know, recovery and stuff, you know, I do talk to him about it a little bit, just understanding what I can do to have a lot of career longevity and, you know, to play as much as he's played. It's nothing short of incredible what he does consistently, you know, in terms of being there, being active, ready to work, and playing at a high level every time.
What did you take away from the initial stretch before the bye that perhaps you can do better in your own game in this final stretch here?
Oh, yeah. There's a ton of stuff, man. I'll just keep it at this. I need to be a lot cleaner on the finer details and being a lot more consistent in my play. And not just being on the field on Sundays, but just also every day of the week in practice and just being a better player and a better pro.
And then just for this particular game, how does it change the fact that Bradley Chubb has only played these two games? How do you guys prepare for what is going to be a unique challenge there?
Yeah, from what I know of him, he's obviously a very good player, a top-notch player, very elite talent. And, you know, he's played the past couple of years, I believe, right? So we'll have a lot of film available on him, and I know our tackles will be ready to play.
Did you, as a young player, this was your first bye week, and you guys actually got to go home, do whatever you wanted to do. There's some protocols with the masks and stuff. What was the message from the team when you went away to make sure, like, you were careful, and did that not dampen your holiday or anything, but how cognizant were you of that? Because it's still the middle of the season when you were away.
Yeah. I mean, they warned us, you know, just be careful who we're around and, you know, just be aware of the situations because COVID is not completely away. So I would say that's sort of that piece, you know, the coach is reminding you. And we have really good protocol in NFL. Obviously, I'm wearing a mask right now, but, you know, just to be safe and, you know, be cautious about a lot of things.
That was kind of in your head when you were home?
Yeah, a lot of times, yes, sir.
Okay. Thanks, Trent.
Thank you all.
We had an opportunity to talk to Coach Madison, and he said that you really draw a lot of confidence from the Packers game and going up against Davante Adams. Did you sense a shift for you in that game and this season in particular?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was just a game for me to gain my confidence. You know, I've just said that I'm learning as I'm going. So, you know, I'm just building game by game and week by week.
What could
performing well against someone like an Adams, you know, do for you mentally?
I mean, it boosts you a lot against a great receiver like him. So, yeah, it gave me a little confidence.
Legarius, as much as you can you share with us your film study habits, how you sort of developed that over these last 2 years and what you sort of take most from watching?
I'm still learning as I, you know, grow in this scheme and this defense. And, you know, we're basically on Mondays, small off days. So I look at wide receivers, just look at their releases and what they do. And Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I try to study the quarterback and tendencies of what he do. And Thursday, I try to put everything together and study, like, the whole offense and what they're doing to attack defenses and stuff.
Darius, a lot of corners don't like the physical part of the game, but obviously
I love it.
What is it about that part of the game that you enjoy, the tackling an open field, whatever it might be?
Yeah, I just love being physical, you know. Spaz like it, you know, he got an aggressive defense, and I love being physical myself. And on the offensive side, they don't like that. You know, wide receivers, they don't like when you put hands on them and stuff like that. They take their heart out their chest, so. That's why I like it, yeah.
How do you hear that from them? I mean, they talk to you about that during the games? How do you know they don't like it?
I can see it in their eyes. I can see in their eyes and how they play, you know, from the start to the finish. When I jump out from the start, I can tell, like, yeah, I got them.
How do you keep that mentality going, like, for a whole game and for the whole season? I know earlier, a couple games ago, you got your bell rung a little bit, mm-hmm. had to go in the tent, came out, got right back in there.
Right.
How do you keep yourself from getting gun-shy and stuff like that?
You know, it's hard, you know, to try to play every down and stuff, but I do it to my best ability, the highest I can do it. You know, even when I'm banged up, I still try to, you know, just put hands on and stop timings off wide receivers and quarterbacks.
Is there anything that you can attribute that to? Coaching, upbringing, whatever?
Oh, yeah, Coach Spaz, you know, I salute him from when I first came in, and he seen that I like to put hands on guys, and he hammered in my ear telling me to put hands on and messed up the timing.
Jerish, we're at the point of the year where there's a lot of we're now at Pro Bowl voting season.
Right.
Obviously, there are a lot of household names out there, and then when we think of Kansas City, maybe your name isn't out there as much as others.
Right.
But when you look at your body of work this year, are you having a Pro Bowl season?
I haven't looked at my stats or anything. You know, just playing ball. You know, doing something that I love. You know, it's not something that I'm. You know, my goals. I'm trying to unify the team and my defense and. You know, be the best that we can be. Pro Bowl right now, that's going to come, and I'm not worried about that right now.
How much better do you guys feel collectively as a group the way you played the last couple of weeks against offenses? People were saying earlier when you were playing well, you were playing against a bad quarterback or a bad offense. We can't say that about the Cowboys.
The thing is, we knew what we was capable of, you know. We just had to place it together and put it all together as a unit, as one. And then we play as one, you know, nobody can stop us.
Could you sense the frustration that wasn't coming together for the first 2 months? And could you also sense that it would eventually?
Yeah. We was frustrated, you know. We just trying to figure out what we need to do and put the puzzle pieces together.
How have you seen Rashad Fenton grow year to year?
Oh, man, Rashad, he's a game guy, you know. It's, you know, Rashad, you know, just come out, do his job, and, you know, it shows.
You mentioned how Spags likes to be aggressive. Mm-hmm. You guys are one of the teams that blitz at a high level. Just what does blitzing do for you guys, and why do you think you guys are so successful when it comes to blitzing?
Guys up front and, you know, executing their job and the blitzes, you know, putting pressure on the quarterback. Quarterbacks don't like that at all.
You talked about your physicality, but your open field tackling has been really impressive this year too. How much pride do you take in that when you're the difference between a stop and a big game?
I love it, man. You know, just me and him, I'd be like, I got to make this play. And I'm not going no, not make the play. I have to make this play. That's what I put in my head. Yeah.
You mentioned Spags encouraging that, but I'm curious just about that time you spent at safety in college. Mm-hmm. Did some of that kind of, you know, lead into that physicality and play when you do play corner?
Yeah, I can say it played a part. You know, I had to change my game a lot when I was moved to safety. You know, had to get in the box and stuff. So yeah, I can say it changed me a lot. Yeah, plays a big part.
Okay, thanks, Legarius.
Thanks.
Thank you all.
Support for this show comes from Vanta. Dealing with loads of spreadsheets, juggling different tools, and having to do manual security checks, it can be a headache to keep up with today's compliance and security programs. Vanta is the trust management platform that wants to simplify things and bring all your trust-building efforts under one roof, making growth smoother for your whole organization. Vanta lets you automate up to 90% of compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, HIPAA, and more. Strengthen security posture and reduce third-party risk. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/vox That's VANTA.com/Vox for $1,000 off Vanta.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes, and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/Vox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.